is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners and for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. That boy killed his mama today. In the midst of all them little children, he killed his mama too. Children, time is winding up. And evil is waxing hotter and hotter. And it's designed. It's been designed to mislead you. But you know the truth. For we know that the law is good. I don't care what nobody say, for we know the law is good. For homemongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. And it's going on, children. You say, I don't believe that nobody. It's going on, children. For men stealers, for liars, for perjured person, and just in case, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, just in case I didn't put something in here, every other thing that's contrary to the word of God, stay away from, children. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who have enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy. I was a homemonger once. I was a liar once. I was a proud person. I was a talebearer. I was a mess maker. I was a thief. I was a bat. But thank God for the mercy. Thank God for his mercy. And your flesh is the only one that keeps bringing it back up. That's why God told us in the beginning, you bind up your flesh. For now there is for no condemnation in them which believe in Christ Jesus. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what he came here for. All we got to do is repent, children. The devil don't want you to know it's that easy. Repent for it. That's what his blood was for. For our sins. For our sins. Your flesh causes you to sin, allow you to sin, and then it put condemnation upon you. Look what you done. God can't forgive you for this. God say, I can forgive you for all sin, children. 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. He did it for me first. So now I can have compassion on you. And you can have compassion on your brothers and your sisters. This is a time and a day that we're going to have to learn how to be long-suffering, children. How many times am I supposed to forgive them? Is 7 enough? No, no, you got to keep on forgiving them. You got to keep on forgiving them. Because God kept on forgiving you. Because God keep on forgiving you. Learn to show them more love. Learn to have more compassion on them. They may not be running this race as strong as you think they should. They may not be coming to church as much as you think. They may not be speaking in tongues. But learn to be long-suffering with them. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Long-suffering for a pattern 16th verse, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal. That's why I say, take me to the King. Take me to the King. He's the one that can fix all things. He's the one that can forgive me my sins. He's the one that won't keep bringing it back up to me. He's the one that loves me no matter what shape I'm in. He's the one that hears my prayer, hears me in the nighttime when I'm crying, in the closet, down the roads, and all the pain, all the suffering. I go, please take me to the King. Please take me to the King. He's the one that teach me how to love my brothers. He's the one that teach me how to have compassion on someone else. Please, my body is broken down. My strength is getting weak. Take me to the King. Take me to the King. For an offering, I have to offer up this body as a living sacrifice every day, all day long. Please take me to the King. My strength is weakening in me. Take me to the King. Take me to the King. Take me to the King. For an offering. For an offering. Please. I've got a dying world out there. Your flesh got you worried about your fires. Worried about the fact that your shoes are too tight. He said, but I've got children that don't even have shoes to put on their feet. You worried about not having enough money to make it to next week. He said, I've got children that don't have a dime, not even a penny in their pocket. You worried about all the stress that you're going through. He said, I've got children that don't know about me. Will you please take them to the King? Tell them about me. Tell them about me. I'm full of grace and mercy. Will you bring them to the King? Just the way they are. Just the way they are. Don't you try to clean them up. Don't you try to change them. You just tell them about me. And every minute, every hour, every day, every week that you spend for me, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give it back to you, children. Your flesh wants you to keep looking at you. God said, but if you look at them, if you look the need for them, I will take care of you. We'll tell them about that eternal King. I don't care how many kings come. I'm the eternal King. I am the Alpha, the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I created all this stuff by myself. I created all of it for myself. I was there from the beginning and I'll be there in the end. Bring them to the King. Bring them to the King. Let's give the Lord a hand clap.
I pray that this CD has been a blessing to your life. And all I can say to you, in making this,
we are in hopes that you enjoyed our pastor's message today and were truly blessed. If you would like a copy of today's message, please call 337-238-0314. Or you can visit our website at churchofjesuschristhop.org. Praise be to God, to our founder, Bishop Elbert Mulberry, and our pastor, Annie Mulberry. Be blessed in Jesus' name until we meet again this same time next week.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
You just tuned in to the outreach ministries of the Mount Calvary Baptist Church, located at 320 Daspit Street in Alexandria, Louisiana. Reverend Ronnie Humphrey Sr. is the pastor. We are a church of the living word, preaching and teaching the word, thereby fulfilling God's command as stated in Mark 16:15, to go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At Mount Calvary Baptist Church, leading to others is the church's first priority. Now join Pastor Humphrey in a sermon already in progress.
Sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Father, we thank you right now for your grace and your mercy. Thank you right now, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And Lord, we don't mean to be redundant. Lord, we're not getting forgetful and repeating ourselves. We know what you've done, and you're worthy of being repeated. Your blessings are worthy of being reminded. Lord, we just thank you right now. We ask right now, Lord, as your word comes forth, Lord, that it comes forth to do what it must do. Convict us, please, Lord. Prick our hearts, prick our minds, prick our very souls. Let something we say today bring souls to you and not drive them away. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Amen. Giving honor to the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, to Dr. Huey Lawson, our Pastor Emeritus, Sister Martha Lawson, our First Lady Emeritus, Reverend Rodney Lennox, Mr. Cindy Humphrey, and to all of you. Now, just for a brief while, we want to speak to you a little bit about some things, some of which you may understand, you may find familiar. And then if not, maybe it will be something that if you don't know about, you may find out about in the near or far future. Before I read our scriptures for today, by the way, they will be coming from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 11. 1 Samuel, chapter 11. Let me just tell you a little story. Day before yesterday, I do a lot of porch sitting now because I guess I'm getting older. Sit out on the porch. you know, and look around. That must be an old man thing, because my daddy did it, my father-in-law did it. You know, just sit out looking around, you know, wait for the mailman to come and look at the cars, this, that, and the other. I didn't have anybody to see in the hospital that day, so I'm sitting out on my porch, I'm looking around, and the mailman comes. And I say, well, I'm out here already. I may as well go and get the mail. Usually I let my wife do that, because always bad news for me. So I send her to the mailbox. You know, I think every person in the universe knows my name and address. But anyway, I go to the mailbox, I get my mail, I come sit back on the porch, looking at the squirrels and looking around at the beauty of nature. I say, well, I might as well look at what I got in the mail. First two or three, propaganda. Somebody want me to buy something. Somebody want me to come get a new car. Even tell me how much you'll give me for my trade, you know. How they know what I drive, I don't know, but you know, they. So I get to this letter from the sheriff's office. So I say, well, you know, must be time for a raise. They told me when I retire periodically, they'll give me a little percentage raise. You know, it's been 3 years and, you know, I'm having a good day. You know, I didn't have to go to the hospital. Everybody's well. Sitting on my porch. So I said, well, this might be my little increment here, you know. Been gone 3 years, so they gonna give me something. So I bust it open, and I began to read, and it seems that the Sheriff's Association has gotten themselves in somewhat of a condition, or I should say a situation. And now they're raising my life insurance. So instead of getting a raise, they send me a letter, they want some more money. I gave them 23 and a half years, got busted all in the head, you know, stayed out late at night, ripping and running up and down country roads. You know, folks my skin tone, we don't do well in DeVille. But, you know, I had to patrol DeVille and I, you know, and now they want some more money. But the condition that the Sheriff's Association finds themselves in is not of my doing. They put themselves in that situation. But the situation has passed on a condition to me. Either I keep my life insurance, they pay my medical insurance, thank God. Either I keep my life insurance or let it drop. Now, I plan on living a long time. But, you know, if I do like my dear old dad did, if I leave my wife here, then I want her to be comfortable. So now I got to decide whether I shop around. You know, that's my condition. But the condition is tied to the situation that they made themselves. But I get a letter while I'm watching the squirrels. Now I find myself with a condition on their situation. Let me read you this little passage, then we'll get out of here. 1 Samuel 11th chapter, starting at the first verse. Listen at this. See if it applies to your life. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel. And then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers to Gilba of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came unto Saul, upon Saul rather, when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. Just for a little while, I'm going to speak to you about a situation with a condition. A situation with a condition. Now, listen. We all know that Saul wasn't always about God's business. But when he first started, before he got jaded by the system, you know, sometimes we start off like a ball of fire. Then after a little while, we let folks whisper in our ears and tell us a bunch of stuff, and then we whimper out like a little smoke. But at this time, Saul was full of fire, full of vim and vigor. He was freshly anointed by Samuel, wanted to prove himself, amen? Now, Samuel was the prophet, and he anointed Saul by God. God gave him the power to do that. Saul was led by the word at this time, and he was being recognized as king, so he wanted to make a name for himself, wanted to do something good, start off with a bang, get the people to loving him, kind of like our city marshal. I noticed the letter that was read today was signed by my friend Jerome Hopewell. Jerome wants to start off with a bang with a forgiveness program. Amen. Now, Saul became untrustworthy. I hope Jerome doesn't become untrustworthy. Amen. But that was a situation placed on the people by Nahash the Ammonite. And the condition was they were all going to be made slaves if they didn't do something about it. Amen. Nahash wasn't a nice guy. He wasn't the kind of guy you hang around and watch the basketball game with, amen? He was a warrior, and he led warrior people. They fought for a living. That's what they did, amen? Kind of like a friend I used to have. Every time he saw me, he wanted to slap me on the back. I thought he liked me. Come to find out, he just wanted to hit me. Hey, Humphrey, how you doing? Wham, you know. So I started avoiding him, you know. So Nahash was the kind of person you want to avoid. Amen. He wasn't going to treat you nice. He wanted to hit you every time he saw you, you know. And conquering was what he did, and he did it well. Amen. Now, the city of Jabesh Gilead was a little neighboring country of Saul's. It had some Israelites there. Amen. And their defenses were weak. Every now and then your defenses get weak and you're susceptible to stuff. Amen. You let your guard down. You haven't prayed in a long time. You haven't been fed by the word, and you're easily led. And anything somebody says, you believe, Amen. Jabesh Gilead's defenses were weak. Their situation was grim. But they had a condition placed on their situation. They were about to be made slaves, But they had a seven-day reprieve. They had to find somebody to go up against the Ammonites. But now the elders made the deal for all the people. And, you know, when people speak for you, they ought to have your best interests at heart. Amen. Your lawyer, he ought to have your best interests at heart. Your doctor ought to have your best interest at heart, not just your bill. He ought to have your best interest at heart. In the court system, they call that a fiduciary duty. Your duty is to represent these people as best you can. Amen. So the elders made the decision that they were going to bargain with the Ammonites. Amen. So I don't know if that condition, if they wound up with the best condition, but they felt like that was the best they could do. When you're afraid, huh? When your hands in the lion mouth, like my daddy used to say, you make a deal. Sometimes people say, deal with the devil. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to make a deal with the devil. Amen. But when you're tempted to make a deal with adverse persons, sometimes you better read the fine print first. Can I get a witness? Amen. Years ago, the fine print on my life insurance policy, maybe I didn't read it, but they promised me it would never go up. Say, Corporal Humphrey, you've given us 24 years of service. We're going to take care of you forever. Then I get a letter while I'm watching the squirrels go by. Amen. So I didn't read the fine print, or either they lied. Amen. But you need to ask God for help. I'm going to pray about it. Huh? Saul prayed about it. Some things can't be fixed except by God. Can't be fixed by the Sheriff's Association. Can't be fixed by the city marshal. Sure enough, can't be fixed by the president. You just got to kneel down on your knees and tell God all about your situation and the condition you're in. God shows his power, even in grim situations. He shows it in an anointed form. Saul was used as God's instrument. I wonder how many of us today will allow ourselves to be used as God's instrument. Can I get a witness? You know, we don't mind being used as an instrument of gossip. I mean, we like that. We don't mind being used as an instrument of mess. We love that. We don't mind being used as an instrument of church confusion. But how many of us want to be used as an instrument of God? Amen. Saul wanted to be used as God's instrument. So Nahash was about to have his condition turn on him. Amen. Once again, let me refresh you with a couple of verses. It says, Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. Look, he built a camp right beside him so they could look over and see him. Amen. You know, sometimes the devil, he wants to get close to you so you can look across the room and see him looking at you. Amen. The theory is, the closer he is, the scarier you are. Amen. But I don't care how close the devil is, God is even closer. Can I get a witness? And it does not matter if he's looking at you. You ought to be looking at God. You can't stare him down. You need to look up to the hills. Amen. Nahash the Ammonite answered him, said, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes. In other words, he's going to take out all their eyes for a sign to anybody else that if you mess with me, this is what's going to happen to you. Amen. And see, that's what the devil does. He makes a spectacle of things. Can I get a witness? Amen. He wants God's people to turn their backs. Wants us to be afraid. Wants us to be afraid of going to the mailbox. Wants us to be afraid of going to school. Wants us to be afraid of even coming to church. He wants to place conditions on all of our situations. The elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days. We're going to find somebody for you. Amen. Give us a little while. And if we can't find anybody to go up against you, amen, we'll be your slaves. Amen. But now that deal was made from the top. I'm sure they didn't ask the whole country. Amen. Because nobody wants to be a slave. Amen. I heard a rapper the other day that said that it was our decision to be slaves. Amen. I won't mention his name because he doesn't deserve the publicity. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, nobody wants to get beat down with a bullwhip. Nobody wants to live out in the slave shack and eat the things that are thrown from